But I'm excited about God's word today. I don't know if y'all are excited, but I'm excited for what God has to say. How many of y'all hungry to receive what God has today? Come on, let's stand to our feet as we read God's word. Psalm 27, as we continue our sermon series that we've been in for these past 2 weeks, summer playlist. And I was talking to somebody earlier, and they were like, hey, Pastor, have you considered maybe extending this summer playlist sermon series because it's so good to the month of August? Let's just stay in Psalms for the whole summer. And I was like, I don't know, we'll see. But we're going to go to Psalm 27 today. And it is another popular song in the scripture that I believe is going to impact us in a great way. Here's what Psalm 27 says in verse 1. It says this: the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord. Everybody say the Lord. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? When evildoers came against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. Though an army deploys against me, my heart will not be afraid. Though a war breaks out against me, I will still be confident. I have asked one thing. Everybody say one thing. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. I want us to jump down around verse 12. Do not give me over to the will of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. Verse 13, I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness. I don't know about y'all, but I want to see that in my own life. The Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. Verse 4 of Psalm 27. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord, seeking him in his temple. I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we continue this sermon series, summer playlist. And I want to call today's sermon, I only need one thing. Tell the person beside you, say, hey neighbor, I got news for you. You only need one thing. Find the other neighbor across the way and say, hey neighbor, I got a question for you. Hey, can I get $5 right quick? So y'all are like, wait a minute, Pastor, that took a turn. Tell them, you only need one thing. Father, we thank you for your grace and goodness. Thank you for who you are. We thank you, God, for your word. Your word is life. Your word brings healing. Your word brings hope. Would you speak to us in these moments that we might be able to receive your word, but also experience the power of it as well. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat for all of God's great things. I only need one thing. Family, I want to ask this a question. Have you ever found yourself saying, I need this, fill in the blank, but in all actuality, you never really needed it in the first place? Some of us are here today, and we've said things like, I need to hit the lottery. I would like to propose, you might just need a job. Some of them are like, Pastor, I got a job. Maybe you need a better job. I say that because many times we make these declarations of, I need a thing, but in all actuality, we might not always need the thing that we think we actually need. And when I think about that, what comes to mind is this quote by this woman by the name of Corrie ten Boom. She was a Christian woman some years ago who helped many Jews escape the horrific events of the Holocaust. She said these words, which I found to be profound. She said, you can never learn that Christ is all you need until you recognize that Christ is all you have. You never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have. Which coincides so much with what we see here in Psalm 27. Because here in Psalm 27, similar to Psalm 23, it is penned by this guy by the name of King David. As I mentioned last week in Psalm 23, if you missed that message, I would encourage you to go back and watch it or listen to it. But in Psalm 23, we saw the words of King David under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit talking about the Lord is my shepherd. But now here in Psalm 27, we also see another psalm that has been penned by David. Another, if you will, as I like to call, another top hit from the scripture. From David. And in this psalm, y'all, he's talking about quite a few different things than things that we'll see in a moment. But one thing that I want to make clear, as I said last week, is that though King David was not a perfect man, he made mistakes like all of us in here. He was not and may not have been a perfect man. He was still a faithful man. He was a man, as the Bible says, that was after God's own heart. And throughout this psalm here in Psalm 27, as we look through these 14 verses, and I want to encourage you to go and read it in your own time tonight. My prayer is that even through this psalm series and psalmist series, that you and I would walk away from this sermon series with at least one favorite psalm. It might be Psalm 23. It might be this one here today. But when you look through Psalm 27, one of the things that you'll begin to see, and we've already read some of it in our introduction time together, is David is in a lot of trouble. He's facing all types of opposition. He's dealing with threats from enemies. He's dealing with enemy armies coming against him. He's dealing with false witnesses. In other words, people slandering his name and also slandering the name of God. Anybody ever had any experience with that before? He's dealing with a sense of abandonment. He says that later on in Scripture in verse 10, that even if my father and mother abandon me. He's dealing with a complexity of a whole lot of different life's circumstances, which, if we're honest, can create this backdrop of fear and uncertainty. And the reason why I love Psalms like Psalm 27 is because I think if we're really honest, many of us in here can identify with David. Many of us in here can identify with the truth of the reality. I know what it's like to have people oppose me. I know what it's like to be dealing with some circumstances that are overwhelming me. I know what it's like to look fear in the face and to feel overwhelmed with fear. And maybe some of you are here today and you can identify specifically with that with some of your own life situations. Maybe for some of us, you're trying to advance in life, but it feels like you keep getting knocked backwards. Anybody ever felt like that? For some of us, you're fearful about your life and how you'll get through what it is that you're actually facing today. For some, you feel like you're losing the battle in your mind. For some of us, you feel like you have been falsely accused and people have run your name through the dirt and they have run your name through the mud. And maybe for some of us, your family is dealing with an illness that doctors have said is incurable and that there's no hope for. Let me just plainly put it like this, y'all, and we say this all the time for some of us, life be lifin'. And we in this space right now for some of us where it feels like life is just lifin', that anything that could go wrong is going wrong. I just want to know how many people can here can be honest and just show their hand and raise their hand. Pastor, I know what you're talking about. Because I've walked through some situations where I did not know how things were happening to me. I feel like deserve it. I didn't do anything to cause it. And it just all of a sudden popped up. Have you ever been surprised and popped up with certain things in your life that you did not plan for? You didn't plan necessarily for that person to betray your trust. You didn't plan necessarily to get that pink slip from your boss. Because they said they're downsizing, making budget cuts. You didn't plan on having tension in your home with your spouse or with your children or with your sibling or with a friend. You didn't plan on these things happening. But I want to let us know that, y'all, as long as we're walking through life, we're going to walk through some challenges. There's going to be some difficult circumstances. As a matter of fact, later on, earlier in Psalm 23, I mentioned this last week, in Psalm 23, verse 4, what does David say? He says, even though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, which means this, y'all, I'm going to go through some valley moments. And sometimes the valleys that I find myself in, I didn't get myself in them. Sometimes that was just life happening. Sometimes that was just circumstances happening. I didn't plan for that. I didn't plan to get stabbed in the back. I didn't plan to get cussed out. I didn't plan to have a flat tire with a nail in my tire. I didn't plan to go in my checking account and all of a sudden, see, I ain't got no money in there, but I got all these bills that are stacking up. Ain't nobody planned for that. Come on, can we be real that there's some times in your life that happen, it's like, I didn't see this coming. And David finds himself dealing with some of these circumstances like many of us in here today. But I want to give us some encouragement that in spite of all that we might be encountering like David, the first three words of this psalm, just like Psalm 23, they should give us hope. I want you to look at what your Bible says. It says this, the Lord is, pause. Rewind it back. The Lord is, Pastor, hold on. These three words, I mean, what's the significance of them? There is so much significance in just these three words. I could literally stop the sermon right now, and we could all go home. And some of us like, please do that, because I'm trying to go get the brunch right quick before the church crowd gets out. But I can't move past the Lord is without helping you understand the significance of it. Because if you look in your Bible, that when the Lord is described here, notice in your Bible, it's not capital L and then lowercase for the rest of those letters. It's all caps. Somebody say no cap. What does this mean? The Lord here, this is the sacred name of God as we see in the Old Testament. In Hebrew, it's the name Yahweh, which also translates to Jehovah. It is the name that God gave Moses when Moses asked him, who shall I send? Who shall I tell Pharaoh is actually sending me with these instructions to let my people go? Because God and Moses had a conversation. God's people were in bondage in Egypt. And God says, I've heard their cry. I've heard their misery. Moses, I'm calling you to go set them free. Go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And Moses is like, all right, who do I tell him sent me? And God says, I am. Hold on. What you mean? Like, I am going to meet you there? I need a name. I am. No, like, I need like a full name. I am. God tells Moses, I am Yahweh. So when David says here, the Lord is, it is a callback to the truth that God told Moses that is also true for us today. And do you know what it is? I am that I am. God is. What is God, and who is God, rather, Pastor Edwin? What do you mean God is? God is everything that you need him to be. God is. Fill in the blank. Can I give us a few little rundowns and names from the Old Testament that people gave God and ascribed to God based upon how he moved in their circumstances? Some people were in need of provision, and when he provided, they called him Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. When some people were sick, some people called on the name of God, and God healed their bodies, and then they called him Jehovah Rapha, which means the God who heals. Some people were in bondage emotionally and were distraught emotionally because of some of the stressors and pressures that they were feeling, when they called out to God, and then God showed up and gave them peace, and so they called him Jehovah Shalom, the God who is peace. Some people needed protection when enemies were coming against them, and when they were walking through the wilderness, and they cried out to God and said, God, I need you to protect me, and God showed up and protected them, so they called him God, the God who protects, or Jehovah Shema. And here's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ right here in Psalm 27. Anything that you need God to be, he will be that. And some more. I'm gonna say it again in case you didn't get it. Whatever your need is, God says, I am that and some more. And some of you got a testimony of that in here, because when you needed a friend, he was the friend who stuck closer than a brother. When you needed an open door, he was the one who opened up the door. When you needed provision, he was the one who showed up and made a way out of no way. Come on, somebody. When you got the doctor's report and when you called on the name of the Lord, he was the one who healed your body. And I just wanna know, is there anybody grateful at the 11 o'clock service today that can say, I thank God that I got a God who is. He wasn't just somebody who was, but he is the God who is. He is a way maker. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. God is everything that I need him to be. God is. The Lord is everything that we need. And it makes me think about a song that I grew up on that I heard a lot of older people in my church sing. They said this song, long as I got King Jesus, I don't need not just anybody, nobody else. Long as I got Jesus on my side, I don't need nobody else. And I think some of y'all, you got a testimony like mine where you say, I've seen God do things in my life, and I've come to this conclusion, as long as I got Jesus, I'm good. Come on, somebody, where are my people out in here that could be honest with the fact that you tried this and you tried that and it did not work, but the minute Jesus stepped into your life, you quickly realized and you quickly understood, as long as I got Jesus, I'm good. Let me say it in such a way so you can hashtag it and put it on a t-shirt or do whatever you want with it. If I got God, I'm good. Tell the person beside you, if you got God, not you're good, you good. Not good English, but good theology. If I got God, I'm good. And if you don't get anything else out of this message, I need you to get that. Because we live in a society where society convinces us, you need this, and you need that, and you need this person, and you need that. And God is like, if you got me, you got everything you need, fam. And that's why David says, the Lord is. It's interesting. He doesn't use past tense, the Lord was. No, he says, the Lord is. Why is this good news? Because it shows that just as God was faithful back then, he'll also be faithful now. If God delivered then, he'll do it again now. Same God back then, same God right now. And I need us to get this in our hearts today, because some of us think that all the things of God, he did those in the past, that my better days are not in front of me, that my best days are behind me. But I'm here to let you know from the kingdom of God that there is a message that says, if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? God is on your side. If he was faithful then, he'll be faithful now. If he was good then, he'll be good now. Thank God that God does not change who he is. His ways don't change. His nature doesn't change. He is who he is. He is who he is when he created things, and he is who he is right now. That's better than relationships, because if we're honest, I don't care how close you are to a person and how great a person is, people can sometimes, we can sometimes change. Get brand new on people. Come on, y'all know some people that got brand new on you? They got something that happened great in their life. Now all of a sudden they don't return none of your text messages. But God does not change. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God that we got a God who is always reliable, who is always trustworthy, who does not change with the shifting shadows, but he stays the same. This is why we put our trust in him. This is why David is saying all that he's saying here. And the reason why this is important to understand is because as we go through challenges in life and opposition in life, difficulties in life that David is describing in this text, there's only one thing that's truly needed, and that is the Lord himself. And many of us know this here, but it hasn't made its way here. How do you know that, Pastor? Because when life starts lifing, it's not about what's here. It's not about what I know. It's about what I believe. And when I find myself in difficult circumstances, what I believe will be revealed in my life. And David is helping us to understand that when life starts lifing and when difficulties come, there's only one place and one person that you need to trust in more than any other person and go to more than any other place, and that is the Lord himself. Trust in him. Which means this: if the Lord is everything that we need, number one, here's what this should create, that it created in David. It should create, write this down, a confidence in God. If I say confidence, many people are confident in many different things. Some of you, like every person in here, you got some bit of confidence when you came in here and sat down on those chairs. You were confident, hopeful at least. You sat down in faith. You didn't inspect the chairs. I ain't seen nobody crawling up on the chairs with a flashlight from their phone, seeing if all the legs were working properly. You had a confidence. Ain't it crazy, y'all, how we can sometimes have more confidence in a chair than in God himself? But what we see from David here is that because he believed that the Lord is all he needs, he has a confidence in the Lord. So notice what he says. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. This is verse 1. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? David has confidence in God that no matter the dark things that I walk through, the Lord is my light. He's going to show me the way. He's going to illuminate the way. And then not only that, he says, the Lord is my salvation. What does salvation mean? It means to be delivered from something. It means to be free from something. So not only is David saying, God will show me the way through darkness, but also that God will show me out of the way of brokenness and dysfunction and opposition. That God will save me from difficulty, that God will deliver me spiritually and even emotionally and physically as well. And then he also says this, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. I love this because when we think of stronghold, we may not have a full understanding of it, but this word stronghold in the biblical context, it is a place of refuge. It is a place where people would go for safety. It is a place where people will go for protection. Here's what David is saying. The Lord is not just my light and my salvation. He's also my place of protection. Then when I need to get away, I go to God. When I need peace, I go to God. When I need some direction, I go to God. I'm not going to TikTok, and I'm not going to YouTube, and I'm not going to my coworker. I'm going to God. Then he says this in verses 2-3. I love this. He says, when evildoers came against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. Why is this so important? Because in David's time, they were always fighting. There was always wars breaking out. So there was always these physical battles that were taking place. And David, as a king, he had an army, but he was always leaning on the power of God, not the power of his army. So when my enemies come against me, notice what he says God did. He made my enemies stumble and they fell. I get excited about this because what it lets me know is that, yes, we have enemy in the form of Satan and the powers of darkness. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Can I help you understand something? Your coworker really isn't your enemy. It's Satan who's the enemy that's sometimes at work in that situation. But here's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we see here in this, that even when the enemy rises up to come against you and to fight against you, God has enough power to cause a stumbling to happen and to block what the enemy is trying to come against you. This is why the Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'm so glad that God blocked some things that the enemy tried to use to ruin my life. Can I help you understand something? You should not have made it to where you are right now in life. Do you know the reason why you made it here? It's not because of luck. It's not because of the universe. It's not because of sage burning. It's not because of horoscope. It's not because of a zodiac sign. By the way, none of those things have anything to do with God. And if I put my trust in them, I'm always going to be disappointed. But when the enemy comes on like a flood, the Bible says, God raised up a standard. God was the one who was working on my behalf. And here's what Romans 8:31 says. I love it. What then are we to say about these things? What are these things that Paul was talking about in Romans 8:31? The challenges, the difficulties. The church was dealing with all types of persecution. People were being killed and hung upside down for the faith back in his time. People were getting their heads cut off because of their faith in Jesus. And yet he says, what are we to say about these things? If God is for us, what kind of confidence do you got to have where you see brothers and sisters in the faith getting their lives extinguished because of Jesus and getting beheaded because of the faith, but yet you can stand there flat-footed and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? That's different. That's a confidence in the Lord that God's got me. Even when life be lifing, even when challenges come. Here's what Hebrews 13:6 says. Therefore, we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Can I ask you this question? Where does your help come from? Who are you looking to for help? You looking to bay for help? You looking for your bank account for help? Some of us like, absolutely not, Pastor. Matter of fact, my bank account needs some help. The Lord is my helper. Watch what he says next. The writer says, I will not be afraid. Oh, and watch the sanctified swag of confidence. What can man do to me? What kind of confidence do you got to be filled with to say, what can a person do to me? Some translations say, what can a mere mortal do to me? If God be for me, what are these people going to do against me? I win no matter what. Way before DJ Khaled made the song, the minute Jesus got up out of the grave, I was born a winner in him. So I got confidence. Here's what Proverbs 3:25 says. Don't fear sudden danger or the ruin of the wicked when it comes For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from a snare. The Lord will be your confidence. Your confidence is not to be in your job. Your confidence is not to be in your status. Your confidence is not to be in how many people follow your social media. Your confidence is not to be in your degrees. Your confidence is not to be in the accomplishments that you have made in your life. All those things are great. I'm not taking anything away from them. Your confidence needs to be in the Lord God Almighty, the one who can actually do something about life situations when they come, the one who can actually set you free, the one who can actually heal a marriage, the one who can actually raise the dead, the one who can cause the sight to be able to see, the one who is able to split the waters in half so people can walk on dry ground. Your confidence needs to be in him. That's what David is saying here. Yeah, he says this in verse 3 of Psalm 27. I will still be confident. Even in the midst of everything happening against me, I'll still be confident. Why? Because my confidence is not in those things. My confidence is in the Lord. That's what my confidence is in. My confidence is in who God is, not in my circumstances. I love this because when I think about this family, I think about this story in a time, something that happened some years ago when we first moved into this building. When we first moved into this building, you know, our campus is kind of surrounded by, in a neighborhood, and there's different houses around. And so there's a house behind our campus, and the owners that lived in one of the houses back there years ago, they don't live there anymore. They had these massive sized dogs. I'm talking like these dogs were like right here. I am not lying. They were massive. Try running up on one of them things. And it's a problem, right? And so I remember one day, the first time I saw them, I remember I was coming up here to church, and I heard all this barking and all this commotion, and I happened to look to my left, and I saw these big, white, husky, tall dogs barking, hur, 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 and running towards me. Do you know what I did? I did not pray. I went inside immediately. Pastor, it's just a dog. You didn't see them dogs, fam. And I saw them dogs, and they saw me, and they were barking, they were going crazy, and I stayed inside until the coast was clear. Some of y'all are like, Pastor, you just talked about not being in fear. Listen, that day, the Lord was working on me. So some days went by. Came back to church, and I happened to see the owner of the house and the owner of those dogs, and he was out walking around, and he was in the parking lot that day, and I got out the car, and I said, hey, man, what's up? I introduced myself, and we started talking, and I asked him a question. I was like, hey, man, you're the owner of them big white dogs over there, right? And he's like, yeah, man, aren't they so awesome? No. Like, yeah, they're so beautiful. They're so kind. I didn't see kindness that day, fam. I saw a ravenous beast coming towards me. And I said, yeah, I saw your dogs, man. And I'm not gonna lie, I was a little concerned because they were running fast. I'm talking like Sha'Carri Richardson fast, like Michael Joseph, Usain Bolt fast. And they were barking and they were loud and they tall. Why you got tall dogs, man? And do you know what he had the nerve to tell me? He said, oh, Pastor, you ain't gotta be afraid of them. What you mean? Have you seen your dogs? He said, the reason why you don't got to be afraid of them, he said, did the dogs like run up on you? I said, no, they didn't. I was inside. Did they come to the church? I said, no, they stopped barking and they ran away. He said, I understand it looks like it was a fearful situation, but what you didn't see was that my wife and I actually have an invisible boundary in our yard that's set up to prevent the dog from crossing past a certain point. They have a collar on them that's connected to this invisible fence that if they go too far, it shocks the collar and they know to go back. And he said, that is not just for their protection, but it's also for your protection. So now when you see the dogs, you don't have to be afraid because you know that there's something invisible there that is keeping them back. And I said, my God from heaven, if that's not a sermon, because when I think about how the Lord is a stronghold, I can't always see his hand and I can't always physically see it, but can I let you know that God is working on your side? He's protecting you from some things that you didn't see how it was gonna work out, but God's invisible hand was at work keeping back back the hand of the enemy. He was protecting you from some things. He was protecting you from the attacks of the enemy. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that got a story like mine, that God has been protecting you from some things, danger seen and unseen? God has been protecting you. He's been keeping you. That when the enemy tried to come against you, God said, nah. Little NCAA 25. Yeah. That when you start walking through some difficult situations, matter of fact, let's get some congregation physical activity. This is going to be a workout for some of y'all because y'all ain't working out like y'all should. Matter of fact, I want to ask us all to stand to our feet for a quick moment. It's a PE lesson in a theological truth that when the enemy starts to come towards you, and you start to feel the pressure, and you start to feel the walls begin to close in, I want you to remind yourself that the Lord is my stronghold. And if you even got the physically preach to yourself, I want you to do one of these numbers right here. Come on, do it with me. Right here, the enemy's coming against me. God's hand is on my life. The enemy's trying to set us. God's hand is on my life. The enemy's coming in like a flood. He's on my, come on, where are my people at right here today that know you got God's hand on you? He's pushing back darkness. He's pushing back some things in your life. So when you walk into work tomorrow and all of a sudden things are, somebody start talking to you, make sure it's not your boss, don't do that because you're going to get fired. No. Y'all remember that thing back in the day, talk to the hand. Yeah, talk to God's hand. His hand is on you. He's protecting you. He's your strong tower. And I need some of us to get this today because you've been dealing with so much difficulty. You've been dealing with so much circumstance. And God says, I've been protecting you, fam. I've had my hand on you your whole entire life. I kept you from dying in that car accident. I kept the cancer from taking you out. I've kept my hand on you. He's protecting you. He's got his hand on you. Yeah, tell the person beside you as you go to your seat, he's got his hand on you. He's protecting you. You can't see it, but he's working against you. He's working for you against the hand of the enemy. He's got his hand on you. He's been shielding you and protecting you. You thought it was a coincidence that you made it out of the situation that other people did not? His hand was there. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. He says, whom shall I be afraid? Which now leads to this. He says, because I got confidence in the Lord, there's only one thing that I desire. You do know what that is? The Lord himself. I want more of him. So notice what David says in verse 4. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord, seeking him in his temple. That's what he says here in Psalm 27, verse 4. What is this teaching us? That when it comes to God, not only do we need to have a confidence in him, we need to have a craving for him. A craving for the Lord. David says, there's one thing that I desire, and it's the one thing I ask God for. I'm not asking him for more stuff. I'm not asking him for more money. I'm not asking him for another relationship. I'm not asking him for a new car. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with asking for those things. But David realizes those things can't really help me when I need it the most. He says, there's one thing that I ask of the Lord, and this will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want God more than anything else. That's what I want. Matter of fact, in verse 8, he says these words, my heart says this about you, seek his face, Lord. I will seek your face. What does it mean to seek God's face? It means that I pursue him with all of my affection, with all of my attention. It means that my desire is for him above all things and nothing else. This is why we have seasons of prayer and fasting, because seasons of prayer and fasting help to recalibrate our appetite for the right thing. Because oftentimes we go through life and our appetites are desiring the wrong things, which is why sometimes when it comes to desiring God, we don't experience the feeling that he wants to give us. It's because we've been spoiling our spiritual appetite with worldly junk food. And David says, I crave him. I want him. I seek his face. And y'all, we live in a time where people are craving all different types of things. People are craving attention, so they'll do all types of things on TikTok and all types of things on Instagram and trendy videos. People are craving affirmation, and people are craving accolades, and people are craving acceptance. And what David helps us to see is that having a craving for God and pursuing him fills all of those needs. Everything that I need is found in the Lord. Can I help you understand something? He is the one-stop shop for everything you need. I don't know about y'all, but I like being able to go to a store and they got everything that I need in it. I ain't trying to be driving all over Hampton Roads to go get some groceries. But to be able to go to one place and it's got everything that I need, God says, I'm better than that. I have everything that you need and some. He is the one-stop shop for all things spiritual, all things physical, all things emotional and mental. In him, I find everything that I need. And if you ever think about, if you ever had an encounter with a baby, many of us have had experiences with babies. Maybe you've had a baby, or maybe you've wanted to have a baby, and you've been asking God, and I'm praying that God will do something in your life for that to happen. But if you know anything about babies, when babies get a hunger pain, it gets ugly real quick. I don't care if you give that baby a toy, a cell phone, a tablet, money, a car, new clothes. That baby has one thing on his or her mind: food. Feed me something. Some milk, some applesauce, something. What is the principle I'm trying to help us to see? Because no matter the things that we might try to give that child, unless we're giving that child what it actually needs and is craving for, it will not be fulfilled. I'm here to let you know, your soul has a craving that the things of this world cannot satisfy. Only the one who created you can satisfy that. And David recognizes that. So he says, my soul craves him, and the only thing I want is to be with him, which is why the Bible says in Psalm 34 and 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. My prayer is that all of us would not just get a taste, but get a full course meal and experience of the goodness of God in our life. So that way we would recognize that once I get an encounter and experience with him, I don't gotta go to other places to satisfy me. So Jesus says this in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, for they will be filled. And I wonder how many people in here are hungry for the presence of God in your life. Maybe some of us in here, you try so many different things. You're like, Pastor, those things don't work. There's only one thing I want right now in my life. I want more of God in my life. I want more of God in my marriage. I want more of God in my career. I want more of God in my spiritual walk with him. I want more of God in every area of my life. I don't need the things of this world any longer. No, I want more of him. And notice in verse 6 what he says, going back up, he says, I will sing and make music to the Lord. We'll talk more about this next week as we end our series, because ultimately it shows us when you're obsessed with something or someone, you can't help but to talk about it. When you are head over heels, you know that person that you were head over heels over? And all you did was talk about them. You post about them. The thing that you like the most, you oftentimes talk about the most. Well, David is saying, because I love the Lord the most, all I want to do is talk about him. I want to be with him. If the doors of the church are open, I'm getting there. I'm cranking open my word during the course of the week. I'm tapping in with God through prayer and through fasting because I only want more of him. That's what I want my life to be about. And can I help us understand something, family? I don't care how much money you get. I don't care how many accomplishments you have. I don't care how many degrees you get. I don't care how many statuses you get, how many followers are following you on social media. None of those things are inherently bad, but can I let you know this? Until Jesus is enough, nothing else ever will be. Until the Lord is enough, nothing else ever will be. So if the Lord is not enough, the resources will never be enough. If the Lord is not enough, the opinions of people will never fill me. If the Lord is not enough, none of these things that the world tells us we need is ever going to actually satisfy us. Because our satisfaction ultimately comes from him, which now leads to this next point in verses 10 through 14. Notice what the Bible says. It says, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. Because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path. Do not give me over to the will of my foes, for false witnesses, this is verse 12, false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. Verse 13, if we could pull it up on the screen, says this, I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. Here's the third thing I want to give us, that not only do we need a confidence in the Lord and a craving for the Lord, here's what we also need, a courage from the Lord. God does not want you and I to walk around discouraged. He actually wants you and I to walk around encouraged. Encouraged in what, Pastor? Encouraged in who he is. Encouraged in what he is able to do. And notice that in these last few verses, he says this. He says, I am confident and certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. I will see. This is a declaration that he's making. And y'all, he's making this declaration in the midst of things not being good, in the midst of enemies opposing him, in the midst of tragedy coming his way. He's making a declaration of what will be, even though it's not yet. He says, I will, and I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Can I tell you what this word goodness means in this Hebrew translation of the Old Testament? It means good things, but it also means the best things. It means not just good things, but it also means the best things. Because the Lord is at work in David's life. David has this courage and this confidence to declare, I will see the best things that the Lord has for me. And can I let you know this, that when you and I come into alignment with God and come into agreement with God, you and I will be able to make this declaration, I will see the good things, the best things of the Lord God himself. Here's what Deuteronomy 31 says. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified of them. Who's them? All those opposing. For the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. He will not leave you or abandon you. Why is it so important? Remember what David said in verse 10. Even when my mama and my daddy abandoned me, the Lord still cares for me. Can I let some of us know in here today, some of the favorite people that you have in your life, there could potentially come a time, I'm not wishing it on you, but there could come a time where they might not be around. But can I always encourage you, and who will always be around? That's the Lord himself. You can have courage in knowing that no matter what's going on in my life, God is with me. He's not against me. He is for me. Which means I can have courage to face what I gotta face. I can have courage to deal with what I gotta deal with. I can have courage to deal with the challenges that come in life. I can stand flat-footed and say, if God be for me, who in the world can be against me? I can have courage to stand firm in the midst of hostility and in the midst of challenges. And some of us in here, can I let you know this? That the enemy, he's not really after what you have in terms of tangible things. He's after what you have in terms of your faith. Because he knows if he can discourage you, you won't be in position to be able to see the good things that God wants to have, because you won't pursue the Lord and trust the Lord in the midst of it all. But I'm here to let you know that not a devil in hell can stop what God has for you, that if God be for you, God is on your side. So 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power. Everybody say power. Can I let you know how much power you have on the inside of you because of Jesus? Because when you come into alignment with the Lord himself, you got access to unlimited power. The Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave now lives on the inside of you. I got power. You have resurrection power living on the inside, which means this, I don't care what you're facing and what's coming against you, God has given you everything you need to stand firm. He's given you everything you need to face it. He's given you everything you need to overcome it. Did you not know that you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you in Christ Jesus? God has made you somebody who has power on the inside through faith and trust in his son, Jesus Christ. You have power. And what I feel led to do is to prophesy essentially and to speak over many of your lives in here. I want to speak to some of you in here who have received some bad news. I want to speak to some of you in here who are discouraged right now. I want to speak to some of you who are overwhelmed right now. And what I want to speak is not my own word. I want to speak the word of God over your life here in verse 13. I am certain that you will see the goodness of the Lord in your life. I am certain that God will show up in your life. I am certain that God will make a way in in your life. And I just want to know, who am I talking into today that says, Pastor, I need God's goodness in my life. I want to see God's faithfulness in my life. I want to see God's grace in my life. That you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to let you know that you will see God's grace at work in your life. I want to let you know that God will make a way. I want to speak this over your life because some of y'all don't have any faith at all. Borrow my faith. I'm telling you right now, I believe without a shadow of doubt that if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? I'm here to let you know that God has not forgotten about you. He is fighting for you. His goodness is still available. He is not falling asleep at the wheel. No, he is on your side. I'm here to let you know that in Jesus' name, that God is with you. I'm here to let you know that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I'm here to let you know that no matter what the doctors have said and no matter what friends have said, and no matter what family has said, I'm here to let you know that you will see the goodness of the Lord. The best things. And some of us have believed this lie, that Pastor, my best life is behind me. I'm here to let you know your better days are in front of you. Pastor, the glory days, those were the days. I'm here to let you know there's more days in front of you. There's more goodness that God has for you. And I love what David says. I'm going to close with this in verse 1. He says this, the Lord is my light. I'm going to go back to this verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I get excited about this, family. And the reason why I get excited about this is because as I've said many times from this pulpit, whenever you read scripture, scripture is always pointing to one person, and that's Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus says about himself in John 5 that all of the scriptures testify to me. He says, I'm him. They point to me. How does Psalm 27 verse 1 point to Jesus? Well, in John chapter 8, when Jesus comes from heaven to earth to save humanity from their sin, our sin, do you know what he says about himself in John 8, 12? He says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. What is Jesus helping us to understand? The light and salvation that David was talking about back in Psalm 27, he was really talking about me and he didn't know it yet. And why is this good news for us today? Because it means that if Jesus has come down to save us from our sin and he resurrected from the grave on the third day, it means that he is more than qualified to be the one thing that we need to make it through whatever it is that we're going through in life. I'm here to let you know, you don't need more things that this world tells you that you need. You need more of Jesus. You need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus leading your life. You need Jesus guiding your life. The Lord is my light. Jesus says, I am the light. He says, the Lord is my salvation. What does Jesus say about himself? He says in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. He says that God, the Father, sent his Son into the world that who would ever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For the Son of Man did not come to condemn the world but to save the world. I'm here to let you know that Jesus is your light, that Jesus is your salvation. I'm here to let you know that when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he's not only your good shepherd, but he is the light. He's not only the light, he is your salvation. And I just want to know, is there anybody grateful for the person of Jesus who is here to step into your life, to lead you, to direct you, to guide you? I want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment, because what many of us have been doing today and in so many times in our life is we've been trying to walk through life on our own and we've been trying to lead our life by ourselves. But David says, bump all that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I cannot do this without him. I need him. I need him to be my light. I need him to be my salvation. I need him to lead me and direct me. I need him to move in my life. And what some of us are here today doing, some of us have been trying to walk this thing called life by yourself. You've been walking in darkness. You've been trying to save yourself from spiritual things, tangible things. I'm here to let you know, without Jesus, family, you can't do this. But here's the good news. With Jesus, you don't got to try to. He'll take care of it for you. He is your light. He is your salvation. Do you know what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3? He says this around verse 7 and verse 8. It's a very powerful scripture. that I think really kind of captures the essence so much of what we're talking about here today. He says, but everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. And then in verse 8, he says, more than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ. Can I let you know this? To have Jesus is to have everything I need. To have Jesus, it means I'm having everything I need. In him is everything. But pastor, I need a car. If you got Jesus, he'll provide that. I need some resources. Did you forget that he is the one who provides? I need a savior to atone for my sins. He is the great Messiah who's come to do that. I need comfort. He is the God of all comfort. Everything that you need is found in Jesus. Can I let you know this? Jesus is enough. And you don't have to be, because he already is. This is why he says, I am the light of the world, the bread of heaven, the living water, the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord is my everything. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, you're saying, pastor, I need Jesus. I've been trying to lead my life and guide my life, protect my life. Some of you are here, you've never made the decision to give Jesus your life. You've never said yes to him. You've never believed in him. You've never devoted your faith to him. The Bible says that Jesus came to suffer and die for our sins and raise back to life, so that way we wouldn't have to die for our sins. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Can I let you know this? Jesus came to set you free. Jesus came to save you. Jesus came to deliver you. Jesus came to guide you. You cannot walk through life on your own without him. It's too dark. It's too heavy. But he's come to bring light. And he's come to bring release and salvation. So while heads are bowed and eyes closed, if you're here, you're saying, pastor, I need Jesus. I want to receive him as my Lord. I want to be in relationship with him. I want to turn away from darkness, and I want to receive his light. If you're here today with heads bowed, on the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to see you. If you're here today, you're saying, I want to devote my life to Jesus, on the count of three, shoot up your hand. One, two, three. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. Come on, today's your day. You feel him drawing you. You feel him tugging on your spirit. You feel something happening on the inside of you. That's the Spirit of God at work. Come on, wherever you are, just slip up your hand. Just want to see you. This is you. Amen. Amen. I see your hands. Come on, if you're online, this is for you as well. If today is the day of new beginnings for you and you're saying, I want to start over with Jesus, I want a new life with him, I want to be forgiven, I want you to say these words after me. It's a prayer of faith. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Would you be my light? Would you be my salvation? Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? I receive your love, and I receive your life. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, church family, can we celebrate those who said yes to Christ? I saw some hands go up. Come on, church, can y'all make some noise? Amen. And if you prayed that prayer to give Jesus your life today, I want you to know you've made the greatest decision that you will ever make. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you raise your hand, you prayed that prayer online, in person, but if you're here in person, I want you to take that white connection card. And matter of fact, if we all can grab that card just for the sake of those who are making a decision, it's in front of you in the seat back or maybe in the seat that you're occupying. But I want you to take that connection card if you prayed that prayer. And I want you to do me a favor. Please fill that card out. And I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today. At the end of service, I want you to take that white card to the blue tent outside. Our prayer team is there. We got a gift that we want to give you. We want to celebrate you with the great decision that you've made. We want to love on you. We most of all want to say welcome home to the family of God. Church family, can we make some noise one more time for those who have said yes to Jesus? Amen.